I want to bring you this message from the book of Psalm number 66. Verse number 18 is our text, but let's start our reading at verse number 13. It says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those things I owe, those things I promised you when I was in the pit, which my lips, verse 14, have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. So those things I said in my distress about obedience, I will obey you if you get me out of this pit. I'll go do what you tell me. Just like our brother Jonah in the belly of the great fish, as he came out in order to obey and to speak unto Nineveh as the Lord had bidden him. Verse 15, I will offer you burnt sacrifices. Paul tells us to make our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is an offering of thanksgiving and praise that is because of the mercies of God. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come in here, all you who fear God. And I will declare what he has done for my soul, what he done for me. Verse 17, I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled, praised with my tongue. Verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The Lord will not hear. And that is our subject, that is our title for this afternoon's meditation, The Lord Will Not Hear. And there's an example of this in the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 3, as the husbands and the wives are being dealt with. The Apostle Peter says in verse number 7 of 1 Peter 3, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if the husband doesn't come before God Almighty and say, give me grace to honor my wife, esteem my wife, and to treat her in the way that she ought to be treated, as an equal, as a co-heir in Christ, as a weaker vessel that's under my authority, but is to be used in love and in honor and in dignity and in kindness and in boldness for the glory of God. If he does not do that, then he cannot have the power of God, and he cannot have the ear of God in the blessing of heard prayer. And as I look upon my own life and the life of others, I see that the power of preaching is a sincere heart. And if we regard iniquity in our hearts, it's hypocrisy. If we have known sin that we don't repent of, especially if other people know about our sin, if it's not repented of, if it's our anger or if it's our pride, if we have something that's known, some flaw in our character, something open, it is like a canker worm that will eat at, and it will even rot out the church if the minister is unrepentant. But then if we confess our sin, even if the church doesn't know my sin, if I'm keeping it in between me and God, then he's not going to give me the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit, his peace, his blessing. He may be merciful for a season and allow me some time to deal with it and to get it out of my heart. But it's going to come a time where either the sin must go or God must go. He must give us repentance. And that's the problem that so many have, is they think that they can send that grace may abound. That because I'm accurate in my doctrine, it's okay unto have the sin in my life. But the sin that's in our life, it needs to be rooted out by the accuracy of our doctrine. And so we come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And that, my friends, that is the benefit of the gospel. And I want to read you a couple of texts in the book of Romans in chapter number 6. And so what I'm saying is that me and you can deal with the sin that's in our life. And we have to, we must, we can't keep it. Is we can come unto him in repentance, and we can rely upon him for the forgiveness of sins. But forgiveness is not the whole gospel. And I apologize here. We're this particular church in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, is extremely close to is an airfield for the military. So occasionally you can hear them flying by. But the promise is in Romans 6 in verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's the promise. And then the statement from verse number 18, and having been set free from sin, that's by the cross and the resurrection of Christ and the revelation of this knowledge, you became slaves of righteousness. That's what me and you are now. And I want to read you something by this author named Henry Venn. Now, Brother Venn is a writer from the 1700s, and he was a preacher of the gospel and an abolitionist. And I'm so happy to see and to hear his stand on social justice, that he preached Christ. It was others in this group that were evangelical in the doctrine of grace, and it did not stop them or hinder them from doing good works and trying to alleviate some of the oppression in society. And Mr. William Wilberforce was a man that was involved in that movement, who eventually struck the death blow of slavery in the UK, which helped to end the slave trade in the world eventually. And other men like David Livingstone would advocate in the Eastern African region. But Mr. Venn, as he said this, my third advice is that you do without fail keep an account of yourself in a diary, written in such a character as will be legible to yourself only. Be bold and resolute to do this. I know nothing of greater benefit to youth. You will find much opposition against this practice from within. Therefore, you must be resolute, a faithful account of your time, your discourse, your tempers, how pride and selfishness and vanity work will convince you that you are a vile, and you are a vile sinner exceedingly beyond all you will otherwise believe. So he's saying that by taking a record, by keeping an honest account and examination of my life on a daily basis, that this will make you to become needing the help and strength of God and the atoning blood and salvation of Christ. You see how it doesn't drive us away from Christ, but to Christ? And he continues, I begun to keep my diary, hoping to find myself in everything exact and almost without fault. How was I surprised and ashamed when innumerable deficiencies and blots and corruptions appeared? How convinced both of my guilt and depravity. And I want you to pay careful attention to this last line as to which I'm quoting. And so prepared to be truly thankful for the redemption of my soul. What people think is that if I look at myself, if I examine myself, if I confess my sins, I'm going to have a hard and miserable life. And what they're trying to do, my brothers, my sisters, is to be forgiven and not be holy. Or what we try to do is to be holy in these other areas. I can be sound in my doctrine, in my creed, in my confession. I can be bold in my preaching. Here's one thing that I've learned quite recently. I ought to have known it already. I act like I know things, and then I come to see that I don't, not in the way I think I do. But to be bold and encouraging, to be meek and to be fearless, to be humble and to have assurance, these things work together. I don't like a gospel as to where I'm doubting or I'm looking at my sins all the time and I'm in the flesh and I'm scared and I'm nervous and I'm always thinking about how small I am. That's not how the apostles preached it. But if I deal honestly with my sin, a really true confession of sin, it will bring me unto the joy and the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, and it will make me able to go out and to live this Christian life. And as our Lord says in the book of John, in chapter number 14, this is a really good text, verse number 23, Jesus was asked by Judas, not Iscariot, as to how would he manifest himself unto the disciples and not unto the world. Well, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, that's because of the gospel. That's because of the grace of God. That's because of the forgiveness, of the holiness, satisfying justice of God through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, and how he shed his blood for us and our sins. If if we believe his gospel. He's included us in the covenant of grace, and in this covenant is included obedience. It's included peace. It's included, it includes iniquity being driven out of the heart by an honest confession of my sin, so that I walk with God without any barrier. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He'll obey me. And my Father, I will love him. I will manifest myself. And we will come to him and make our home with him. The Lord Jesus and the Father, the Holy Spirit, will manifest himself and the glory of God and the peace and the joy and the comfort and the quietness of soul and the hope and the excitement and the thrill of the gospel and the ability to live the Christian life. But if you or I, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, if I'm holding on to something that's a known sin, if I'm trying to preach and I got sin in my bosom, the power of the Holy Spirit has to cleanse that out first. I can't be a hypocrite. I can't go into the pulpit with unconfessed sin. And to confess it is to forsake it. So I'm going to ask you to really trust God, to really trust him that his peace and his joy and his commitment unto you and I in the gospel and his wisdom and his favor and his love is of more preciousness than any sin I can imagine. And it may be hard to rip that sin out of your heart, that which you know is wrong. Pride, it could be lust, it could be anger, it could be disobedience in a particular area. It could be an area as to where you're dealing crookedly in order to make money. Perhaps you're going a place you ought not go, or you're doing something you ought not be doing. And it may be nobody even knows about it except me and God, or except for you and God. But you got to pluck out that right eye. You got to chop off that hand if you're going to have peace. Because if I can't be heard by God in prayer, then I can't be useful in the pulpit. And if you can't be heard by God in prayer, how can you be happy? How can you live the Christian life? How can you overcome sin? It is going to come upon you now as a marauder, as an armed bandit, because you don't have the peace and the joy and the comfort of Christ. You don't have the protection. As what I'm saying is, if I'm holding onto this particular sin over here, it makes me open to all kinds of sin everywhere, because I'm not in the strength and I'm not in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So take heed and be convicted of your sin and be convinced of his mercies in Christ and the gospel. Be convicted of the power of the Holy Spirit and know that he will come and he'll drive it out of you. And to be clean and to be upright and to fear God and to walk in holiness and to walk in uprightness is not only our duty and to make your body as a living sacrifice, to pay your vows. When he forgave you, it was on the basis of his lordship established in our life. But it's also our privilege. It's our joy. It's our happiness. It's our peace. It's the only way that I and you can be near unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what life is. That's the happiness of life. That's the peace. That's the thrill. That's the joy. That's the Holy Spirit as He works in power. And He will make us, if we're able to deal with Him honestly in private, He'll make us to shine much more publicly. And it won't matter as to what men have to say against us if we walk closely unto God. And so He'll forgive you, and He'll clean you up, and He will deal with you in a holy way. Sin shall not have dominion over you and me, because we're not condemned. We're under grace. We're crucified with Christ. I've been resurrected with Christ. I've been given a brand new life. I've got the power of the Spirit through the blood of the one who put away my sin. And having that help, there isn't a sin in our life that me and you can't deal with. And I'm not talking about a holy life that has no sin. There is no perfection in us. It's always pride. It's always a need for humility. It's always a need for more zeal. It's always a purging of our heart. Just like Mr. Henry Venn said, at the end of his day, he would write in his diary and he'd be ashamed of himself, but he would end with mercy. It's not with condemnation. It isn't with guilt. It isn't with shame. It isn't in the strength of ourselves. But it's something that must be done. It has to be rooted out. That offense must be dealt with if we're going to have the peace and the nearness of God and of Jesus Christ. And it's worth having. So that's my exhortation, is to drive it out, is to deal with it honestly. And to know, my brothers and sisters, I will say this lastly, that our character is as important as our doctrine, and that our character is not to be strong in certain areas. Oh, I'm bold, I'm forceful, I'm courageous, I can discern doctrine, I can really try the spirits, I have the gift of wisdom. Well, it's, we might have those gifts, but we also need peace, and we also need some gentleness, and we need some love, and we need some kindness, some self-control. I need to be relying upon the Holy Spirit, even as I bring you the Word, instead of the strength of myself, but the Word and the Spirit. And the Spirit comes upon the preacher to make us act in the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's clean up our character, and we go in the strength and the power of God in the gospel, trusting God to make us useful unto our generation. And if you haven't yet trusted Christ, you don't know where you stand with Him. I say, plead the blood. Look unto His blood. It was a man named Don Fortner, was a preacher who taught me the gospel. And there was another friend I had, Big Dave, we call him. And he was having some trouble to see Christ. He was looking at himself all the time, all his of his faults and failures, and he had many. But what Big Don told him was, look to the blood. Plead the blood. Look at Jesus Christ and what He has suffered as the reason that God forgives you and He cleanses you. And trust His blood to make you able to live a holy life. Trust His blood unto be of the worthiness of His exaltation, that He deserves to be Lord because He shed His blood at the cross. For me and you on Calvary's tree who believe His gospel. And if you believe upon Him, you look unto Him, you call upon Him, you will live. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that they shall be saved. And so the Lord bless you and me not to regard iniquity inside of our hearts for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and to understand that we can be changed and we can deal with it and we can have the peace of God, and that the blood, it has prevailed, and it answers our guilty conscience, and it gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to live a brand new life of obedience as a slave of righteousness, as a person whose character is just as important as my doctrine, that to be right isn't everything, but to be righteous in how I'm telling of the truth, that everything about me and you is to bring glory unto God, because that's paying our vows. That's making our bodies a living sacrifice according unto his mercies. And if you love him, if we do, then we're going to obey him, and he's going to make his home inside of our hearts, and he's going to make known his love, his graciousness, his tenderness, his mercy, his compassion, his strictness, his holiness, his justice. But I'm telling you that I am finding him much more merciful than I ever imagined. And it's by dealing honestly with my sin as a nobody, as a sinner, as a person who fails, as a person who is pride. Even when I'm trying to be humble, and even when I'm out to bring him glory, I can see flesh in me. Let's confess it. Let's deal honestly with it, and he'll be gracious and tender. He's a gracious God. He's merciful. He's filled with compassion. But he's a holiness producing being. He's a holy God, and he delights in the beauties of holiness for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Our Father, as we pray to you, we are inadequate, unable to even communicate his gospel with any clarity or power, except it be done by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that we would learn your Spirit to move by his power, to trust him, to work and to be under his influence, that Jesus might be praised. Amen.